Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 166 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Eric. I'm in a little bit of a funk, Walquist. And joining me this week, as he does every week, is the other host of the show.
I'm Jesse, the godfather of funk, Wilson.
Godfather of funk, wow. Well, maybe you can help me get out of this since you are the godfather.
Yeah, exactly.
Make me an offer I can't refuse.
Is it sick funk or just...
No, I'm just in a... I don't know. I got the blues. Maybe it's fall.
Yeah.
It is fall now. I think it's officially fall, but it's not like a regular fall. It's not like a Washington fall because it's basically Washington's decided to turn into Virginia. It's like humid weather and thunderstorms. So there's that. Maybe it's the thunderstorms.
You must be living in a different Washington than me.
You didn't get any thunderstorms this week?
I think we got like one.
Massive
maybe.
Thunderstorms.
Huh. Cool.
Maybe it's the electricity in the air. I don't know. Just funky. Oh, I think I know what it is. It's Seahawks.
Oh, yeah. You better not be one of those people.
Try not to be.
Oh, God. Dude, do yourself a favor and just stop watching sports if that's who you're going to be. You're not doing it a favor for yourself. It's a favor for the other people who have to fucking put up with you.
I know that you're just... You're saying to me what you would like to say to your coworkers.
Yeah, and I have. He's the ultimate one of these people, and he gets all bummed out when the Seahawks lose. It was especially bad after the playoffs last year, and that was a heartbreaker.
It was.
But still, okay, you get one day of mourning, but then just remember that it's a game of a bunch of people who don't care about you.
And who aren't from Seattle.
Yeah, who happened to lose, and it's pretty inconsequential, really, so move on.
I think there are a couple things. You know, after we got off the podcast last week, we both looked at the upcoming schedule for the Seahawks, and, like, we thought that they could go 14-2, really. I mean, they're playing the Rams twice, playing the Cardinals twice. They got a pretty easy schedule, other than their next game, which is coming up in December against the 49ers, and then they got a game against the Saints. Other than that, not a lot of scary teams in coming up, but then they just turn around and lose that game in Indianapolis. 34
well,
points.
Turns out the Colts are pretty good.
I think the Colts are good. I also think that in retrospect, this loss is probably a good thing for the Seahawks team.
Well, that's a game you want to lose. It's not even to an NFC team.
Right, it's not to an NFC team.
Game.
By the way, the Colts, dude. So they drew the card of playing against the NFC West this year. So sure, you get to play against the Rams and the Cardinals, but you also have to play the Seahawks and the 49ers. They already won the games against the Seahawks and the 49ers.
Yeah, they could sweep the NFC West.
They could easily do that. I'm actually predicting that the Cardinals will beat them. It'll be like a letdown game.
Well, here's hoping.
But yeah, I mean, like, the Seahawks have a tendency to get a little cocky, I think. Like, they got that 14 or that 12 point lead, and I think they had it in the bag, and then all of a sudden it wasn't in the bag, and then all of a sudden they were scoring field goals, and the Colts were scoring touchdowns, and then that was the end of the game.
It was kind of funny. It's like, oh, this is how it feels to get rallied against.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, Andrew Luck is a freaking good quarterback, man.
Yeah, he's got a rocket powered laser beam for an arm,
and he's just super smart too. Like, he does things that only veteran quarterbacks do. Mm-hmm. He's got a good head on his shoulders.
Yep.
Suck for luck, man.
He's a lot faster than defenses actually give him credit for.
And he's actually 6'2", 240 pounds.
He's 6'2", 240, and just an arm tackle isn't going to bring him down.
No. Did you get the sense that the commentators were rooting for the Colts a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, no, here's the thing. The commentators just root for the team that's doing well at that moment.
That's
so
true.
The entire second half was just a Colts love fest because the entire second half was the Seahawks pooping in their own pants. Anyway, we should move on.
We should move on. We're going to get to What Are You Drinking? But before we do, I actually want to play a voicemail because my What Are You Drinking is going to play off of this voicemail. So we're going to go over to Philly to check in with JR. Here he is.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's JR from Philly. As promised, I'll give you my review of the Institute Bar's 5th Annual Great Pumpkin Beer Festival. The Institute is kind of a tiny place, so they shut down an entire street block outside of the bar, and there was plenty of room for seating and food. They had some live music. They did set the record. They had 87 pumpkin beers and ciders and all, which beats Elysian's festival for the largest pumpkin beer festival in the world. Now, at a festival, my strategy is always to take the already small sample glass and ask for half of that so I can still get a proper tasting without dumping out valuable beer into the spill buckets that others could be sampling. Now, there's no way to have 87 beers on at one time. So even with the outside space, they have rotating taps. I was able to sample 34 of those 87. So I ended up circling back to some of my favorites. And my only small knock on the festival was I couldn't continue branching out because I tried everything that was out at one time. Mm-hmm. But anyways, here's some of my faves. First and foremost, Southern Tier Pumpkin. Everybody knows it. It's the king, baby. It's like eating pumpkin pie. At this event, they also had pumpkin ice cream. They made ice cream out of pumpkin beer, and it was amazing. And I gotta say, Weyerbacher, little place out of Easton, PA, Weyerbacher Imperial Pumpkin is neck and neck for the number one spot on my list. Whereas the pumpkin is sweet, a little bit sweeter on the side, a little bit more vanilla in there. The pumpkin is richer, is spicier, and both beers are strong, of course, coming in over 8% each. Also loved from Elysian, of course, the Great Pumpkin. They had another good one, Night Owl, and those are two very solid pumpkin beers. But I got to say, my favorite Elysian beer at the event was the Dark of the Moon, which is a smooth chocolate stout. It has pumpkin in there and cinnamon. Fantastic. There's another small place out of PA called Springhouse, and they have Brains Pumpkin Ale for Zombies, and this was a strong maple, strong cinnamon. I almost got a little bit of graham cracker in there. Very excellent beer. And what really helped put the festival over the top was the place that I happened to have gotten married, so I'm a little biased, but Fegley's Brew Works brewed five special beers just for this festival to get their numbers up. And they had some bourbon barrel-aged Devious, which is their, I guess you'd call it their flagship pumpkin. But they had pumpkin porter, which had a sweet cinnamon pop. They had another one, pumpkin s'mores, and vanilla bean pumpkin. Loved, loved, loved everything from Brew Works. So, hey, it's a great festival. Don't be shy. You come on and try every kind of beer. Pumpkin beers, vegetables, fruits. It don't matter. It's all good here. So, listen. Get off my back button. Later, guys.
Get off my back button, JR.
Get off my backspace.
Get off my backspace. Get off my MySpace. Oh, that didn't work.
Already did.
So in that vein, you know, the challenge has been, the gauntlet has been thrown, and by plenty of people on this podcast. So I am now popping the top on my very first pumpkin beer ever.
Wow, this is a historic moment.
I'm going to bite the bullet here, and I decided to go with JR's highest recommendation, which is the Pumpking. Because, you know, if there's one person I'm going to trust about beer on this podcast, it's JR.
Yeah, that sounds wise.
So, Pumpking, it's in my glass, and I'm going to give it a little sip.
This always makes for great radio.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, it tastes like pumpkins. yeah, you guys got me. Tastes like pumpkins. I don't know. I guess the thing is like I'm not a big fan of just like super like I'm. What's that German rule? The law of the beer.
Reinheitsgebot.
Yeah, the Reinheitsgebot. I'm a Reinheitsgebot guy. You know?
No, you're not because you like. Well, I guess you don't like wheat beers.
No, I don't.
You like rye beers?
I like rye beers. So.
Okay. That's not Reinheitsgebot.
Maybe that's where the line is drawn, where the Rhine is drawn.
that's the best joke you've made all year.
Thank you. I don't know. It's pumpkin-y. It's and you're listening to me drink it. Maybe it, you know, I had one sip, so I'll let you know the play throughout the cast.
Try the Dark of the Moon, because a good pumpkin beer is also, it shouldn't just be like pumpkins in your face. It should be, you know, spiced and taste, like the spices should be trying to recreate like the pie crust.
Yeah, I think that, and I think that this, I think the pumpkin, I would compare it to like a spiced pie crust flavor. I don't think it's super pumpkin. It reminds me of pumpkin pie. If this was in an ice cream, though, JR was saying this is an ice cream, I would love that ice cream.
Yeah, there's nothing I love more than, he's from Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, Philly, PA.
I want to be outside in autumn in Philadelphia eating ice cream. That sounds fantastic.
Oh man, we got to bring out the Haterade for this cast. Haterade, Jesse, what are you drinking this week?
I'm drinking my homebrew, my lager. It's delicious.
You made a lot. How'd the lager turn out? Is this your first lager?
Yeah, it's my first lager. The terminal gravity is a little bit higher than I expected, but
yep.
I kind of fermentation was weird because it was too cold because I didn't know what I was doing.
Well.
It's just a single malt, single hop, Pacific Northwest, two row, and Australian topaz. And topaz is super citrusy, so it's like, it almost tastes like, it's really lemony, orangey, and super tart, actually. Well, not tart, just kind of a perceived tartness because of the citrus flavor. It's good, though. I like it. It's 4.7%, real easy drinker.
Legitimate.
Yeah.
Was it as cold as the Rockies?
Well, I'm drinking it out of a stein with a pretzel on it, and it's not cold activated, so I don't know.
There's no way to know.
Therefore, it's not as good as a Coors.
All right. And speaking of dedications, I don't know. I didn't think we dedicated this to JR. I think we just congratulated. But for calling in and for giving us a beer update, I'm going to dedicate this podcast to JR from Philly. Also for being recently married, and also for sending us his wedding beer. To try. Right. So I will have to try that on the podcast. And Jesse, he's still waiting on your address.
Oh.
So just add that in current, in open business on the agenda here. So wanted to get that out of the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Case closed.
Let's get on to more listener feedback this week.
Case closed.
Yeah, we got some great, we got a new one, a new guy. He's from Tejas, which is actually one of our biggest listening states, is Texas.
Yeah, it's a hotbed of arrogant love.
It is. So we got a new guy, John, and here is his epic voicemail.
Hey guys, it's Sean from Texas. I'm sitting here at my desk drinking some Full Sail pale ale. I just had some of the limited Oktoberfest as well, and I really appreciate you guys recommending this brewery. It is really, really, really good stuff. I'm glad we can get it down here. I just wanted to know what the weirdest illness that either of you guys have had was. Last summer, I almost died from Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Mm.
So apparently you get that from a tick, and I don't remember getting bit by a tick. But anyways, also... do you ever laugh when you see something random? Sorry, guys, I'm a little tipsy right now. I just saw a book called Murder in the Yoga Store. All right, I will end this disaster of a call. Get off my Back to the Future Part 4. Will they make it?
Get off my Back to the Future Part 4. First of all, did he say murder in the yoga store or the yoga?
I think it was yoga store.
Was it yoga store or yogurt store?
I heard yoga.
Yeah.
Like where you go buy your yoga?
Yeah, you go buy yoga by the bulk. I get my yoga at Costco.
Yeah, I get it by the pallet load.
Yeah. So, I guess there's a few questions here. First of all, love the drunk dial.
Yeah, please, more of those.
Yes. And then second of all...
I would really like to do a Drunk Dial of the Week segment.
Yeah, I would love to do that too. Now, we're not...
You gotta be drunk when you call in.
Exactly. Just like we are on the show.
And no calling from your car, please.
Yes, please, guys. And then the second one is, what is the weirdest illness, Jesse?
Well, probably appendicitis. That was really weird.
Life-threatening.
Uh-huh. But yeah.
How quickly from initial pain to no more appendix?
It was probably about 24 hours.
24 hours of appendix labor.
Yeah.
Get that sucker out of there.
But then there's also like a day of like flu-like symptoms before.
Ooh. That's crazy. So now anytime I think I have the flu, I'm going to be like scared I have appendicitis.
Yeah. As long as you don't get that pain in the side, you should be fine.
All right. Well,
have you been bitten by a tick?
I have not been bitten by a tick.
I've been bitten by a tick. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah?
Because like I got bit by a tick. I pulled it off, right? But mm-hmm. it was like biting into me, but it hadn't burrowed yet.
Right.
And then it just felt like someone was pinching me, and it hurt for days. Like, ugh. It just felt like I was being pinched for days.
Eek.
It was weird.
Good thing you didn't get Lyme's disease.
I agree.
Or Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Yeah, I feel kind of worried about Sean, or John, because I can't tell if it was Sean or John. Please write in and spell your name for us. But he said he didn't remember being bit by a tick, which means he still might have a tick on him.
Mm.
Check your crevices.
Yeah.
I think my weirdest sickness was definitely swine flu.
Right.
Which I got from PAX. So I got 4 days off for PAX from work, and then I got another 5 days off for swine flu. And it was literally during the epidemic. So, like, I called the nurse hotline because my sister's like, you have to go to the hospital. You have swine flu. So I called the nurse hotline at the hospital, and they're like, what are your symptoms? And they're like, okay, yeah, it sounds like you have swine flu. Can you breathe? And I was like, yes. And they're like, okay, well, we're kind of swamped, so don't come in unless you can't breathe. So I just sat at home and drank orange juice for 5 days.
Yeah. No offense, nurse hotline, but if I can't breathe, I'm coming in. I already know that.
Exactly. That's definitely an indicator.
Yeah.
But yeah, swine flu, man. That was like the only sickness that really just knocked me out. Like I could not get out of bed in the morning. So swine flu for me. Thanks for the drunk dial. And then finally we have one more phone call coming in from an old buddy from an old town called Indianapolis. Here it is.
Hey, Eric, Jesse, how is everything going? Roger. Friggin' Dotsie here. Don't worry. I've been listening every single week. I just love it to death still. I just haven't felt like I've had anything to contribute. I've been enjoying other people's contributions. No one needs to hear my stupid ideas too much. So sorry it's been a while. I was just calling because I'm driving down the road. I'm on my way home from work right now. And it's just a beautiful fall day. I remember last year, you guys said, I don't like fall. One of you did. I don't know if that's changed in the past year. I love fall. Football's on, the leaves are changing, the weather's getting good, and Halloween's coming up. Everything's pumpkin flavored, which I think is fantastic, by the way. And then there's spooky sights all around. I love it. That being said, I have a little Halloween-y thing to talk to you about, and that is, what do you think is the best Halloween movie? Doesn't have to be a horror movie, but just Halloween-themed movie, or Halloween-y movie. Can be horror. What's the best Halloween movie, in your all's opinion? Secondly, and this one's fun. Any Halloween character, or not Halloween character, any horror movie character you can have a beer with. And with no threat of dying, we'll put that out there. There's no threat of dying in this. Which horror movie villain would you most want to have a beer with? Anyway, I'm having a wonderful fall. It's beautiful. Fall also makes me think of when I started listening to you guys, because it's been about a year now since I found your podcast. And I enjoyed you guys on nice fall days last year. And it's just good times. It's just great times. Anyway, fatherhood is great. My residency is great. But, man, I'm busy. And it doesn't leave time for creativity. But just know I'm enjoying every week. You guys are so awesome. Sorry for the long-ass voicemail. Get off my back. Stay arrogant. And happy fall.
Get off my back, Roger. I love you.
Happy fall.
Happy fall. I, you know, I think if Roger was my dentist, I'd actually go to the dentist.
Yeah, totally.
I would just sit back, let him look at my teeth and hear those dulcet drawls.
Yeah.
Lull me into a hypnotic sleep. I love you, Roger.
Hypnosis dentistry. Not intentionally.
Yeah, not intentionally.
The way he speaks is like a, like the Mississippi River just kind of floating on down.
Right, just flowing right over your earballs.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Roger needs a podcast.
Roger does need a podcast. Dentist time.
Yeah.
He should just interview his patients while they're on Laughing Gas.
Or just during all procedures.
Yeah.
Ask a question.
Yeah, because everybody loves the sound of dental drills.
Especially right near your earbuds.
Yeah. So, Roger, first of all, fall. I think I was the one who poo-pooed fall last year.
It must have been, because autumn is my favorite season of all.
I mean,
my top three seasons in order are autumn, summer, and spring.
See, I don't know how you cannot say
winter.
I cannot.
I hate spring.
See, I like summer, and then I like winter, and then I like autumn. Spring's the worst, especially
spring sucks.
Especially for Seattle, because it's just raining and
Florida.
Yeah, sucks. But one of the things about fall that's interesting is that all the women, I don't know if this is the same thing in Port Townsend, but at least in Seattle, all the women.
Probably not.
All the women dress up like Jedi. Like, it's just Jedi, straight Jedi fashion. It's like tall boots, tight pants, flowing tops. It's Jedi. Maybe a belt over it. Jedi. Maybe a turtleneck. Jedi. Like George Lucas, whoever did the costumes for Star Wars, was like way ahead of their time and in the wrong gender. Because it's the time of year when women dress up like Jedi.
That's true. You need to start a Instagram account or a Tumblr or whatever and just take pictures of women dressed up as Jedis and Photoshop lightsabers.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to be the guy just taking pictures of random ladies on the street. That's not going to be me. But that is a great idea.
Yeah, this is why we need Google Glass.
We could just have celebrity Jedi. I'm sure there's plenty of pictures of Kim Kardashian wearing that outfit. Celebrity Jedi. So, Jesse, the questions are afoot. What is your favorite Halloween movie or movie to watch around Halloween?
You know, I don't have a good answer. I don't watch any horror movies.
I don't really watch a lot of horror movies myself, but I love The Shining. Great scary movie.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
So, The Shining is good.
Yeah, we'll just go with that one.
But also, if you're talking about Halloween movie, I mean, probably E.T. is probably the best Halloween movie.
I've never actually seen E.T.
Well, at the end, they put a ghost costume on E.T., and that made me want to be a ghost when I was in sixth grade.
There you go. There you go.
But this is one's a little easier. If you had to have a drink with a horror movie villain, who would it be?
I would go with Jason Voorhees.
You go with Jason?
Yeah. Strong silent type.
Is it because he can't actually drink through the mask, so you'd get his beer?
That too.
Yeah.
So that's a perk. Also, we could just kind of sit at the bar watching football together.
That's true.
I would like to talk to people.
I would definitely go with the Loch Ness Monster. Great stories.
Was that in a... What, from what
oh,
movie?
Not Loch Ness Monster. Not Loch Ness. The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, okay.
First of all, guy can drink...
Roommate to Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah. First of all, guy can drink like a fish.
It's true.
Second of all, no talking. At least in an intelligible language. Third of all, total chick magnet. Although I don't really need that anymore that I'm married.
Yeah. Still just nice.
Yeah, good wingman. GURP.
He's always carrying women over to you. Put her back.
Put her back. Dude, yeah, look at the ring, Locke. I'm going to call you Locke because I like to get people's names just a little bit wrong just to put them in their place. Anyway, thank you for calling, Roger.
Did
really
you get that from your management how-to book?
I got it from Ron Swanson. That's who I got it from.
There you go.
And then finally, quick one from Dennis Kleinbeck in Germany. He says, "Hey guys, oh, I gotta read this in German. As I heard the sad news about the late Tom Clancy,
it doesn't sound anything like Dennis.
I thought a lot about the man and the work he left behind. I realized that I spent so much time reading the books, watching the movies that are based on his ideas, and playing Rainbow Six, Splinter Cell, Ghost Recon, that are more or less based on his ideas. So, what is your favorite work from the Tom Clancy multiverse? Have a great week and a great cast. Jesse, you have any Tom Clancy memories?
I am almost completely ignorant of.
I am too. I'm more of a Crichton guy. I'm more of a Crichton. Like, I can look to Jurassic Park. I can look to Outbreak. Like, those are more. I'm more of a Crichton guy than a Tom Clancy guy.
This is a great eulogy.
It is. I did buy Ghost Recon once because it was $20 as a platinum hit on Xbox. So, there's that.
I played, that's why I played Splinter Cell, and the game was too hard, and I stopped playing.
R.I.P., Tom. Okay, let's move on to our little tiny bat roll-off. Jesse, we're each going to roll a 20-sided die, so you get to talk first with the cast this week, and here we go. I rolled a 5.
I rolled a 4. God damn.
Ooh, all right. Well, this week, I'm going to start off with a segment. I was actually listening back to episode 30 of the Personal Arrogance podcast.
Why were you doing that?
Because John O'Brien was like trying to find old episodes, and I was checking which ones worked and which ones didn't.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like going back to episode 30 and listening through it. First of all, very relevant stuff on Miley Cyrus in that episode from 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yes. So go back and check out that gem. And then second of all, I had a segment that I think at one point I was trying to make a recurring segment, but I don't think it had recurred until now.
Is it Threads?
No. it is a segment called Eric Pitches a Movie.
Mm.
So you might remember the first movie that I pitched on this podcast was Mega Bear versus Willzilla.
Oh.
In which a eco-terrorist organization creates Willzilla, and he has to go up against a bear, giant bear spirit that has been conjured by a shaman. Also, there's Sasquatch involved. You can also hear that pitch back on episode 30. But there's this new movie coming out, and it's called Escape Plan. It's coming out in theaters very soon, starring two guys that I know you like, Sly Stallone.
Mm.
And Mr. Arnie.
Oh, Arnie.
And
yeah.
Arnie Schwartz. Arnie Schwartz, I went to his bar mitzvah. It was great. So this is a movie. It's basically two guys who are like 68 years old who are roided out, and they get stuck in a prison because it's their job to break out of prisons. And then they find out that they're put in the prison permanently, and it's an impossible prison to break out of, and then they break out of it. You can watch the trailer and see the entire movie in 2.5 minutes. but I think, you know, we have these tropes. We've talked about the Expendables before. So we need to get together, and we need to create a movie based on classic action tropes. Are you down for this? I think that you're the perfect person to do this with. So first of all, we have our protagonist. And the protagonist in any of these action movies is a guy who has left the job, right?
Yeah, yeah. All he wants is a simple life.
All he wants
is a simple life. He left that all behind, Dutch.
He left it all
back
behind.
Back in Geneva.
Exactly.
After what happened in Geneva, you know I left that life behind, Dutch.
Okay, so we got this. He was in Geneva. And he knows someone named Dutch, and he...
Dutch is like the head of some sort of secret military government.
Right, we'll get to
like
that.
Special forces.
We'll get to that. And I think that we can also tie this into current events, but we'll get to that in just 1 second. Okay. So
this is going to be like the replacements for the government.
All right, so I think we have that. We'll get back to that one. That's perfect, though. Okay, so he's in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. He's in a cabin. And then a black Lincoln Town Car drives up. And a guy in a suit gets out. And our hero comes out of the cabin. And we need to figure out what government agency that he worked for. Now, we can either make up a government agency like the Omega Force in True Lies. The Last Resort, which is the best name for a government or secret government organization ever. Or we could pick a more mainstream one, CIA, FBI. Personally, I'm going for the National Park Service.
Okay, I like... It's going to be a challenge to make a good action movie out of this.
Out of a guy from the National Park Service?
Right.
Well, the thing that you don't understand is that the National Park Service also runs... secret government, large secret government sites, such as Area 51 or the Idaho National Defense Place in Idaho.
Gotcha.
Right?
I like it.
So they have like a secret branch that runs these organizations.
Okay, so at one point, I want this guy. It could be our protagonist.
Yeah.
I want to work in the line that where he introduces himself. Or it could be Dutch.
Yeah.
Could just like, name's Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
Forest Ranger. Army Ranger.
Yeah, I love it. So Dutch goes, hey, guys, so we need to come up with a name for this guy. I like something like, I don't know, Blaze Grandstand.
Blaze Grandstand is good.
Okay, Blaze... guys, this is... So, first of all, he gets in there. What's the incentive here for him to get back in the game? Because...
Well, what has happened? Have like, terrorists taken over the Idaho defense?
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of there's these secret military organizations that are used for military research. Mm-hmm. So, there's all these secret military, you know, planes and stuff that are in these things. And so... One of these secret planes has been hijacked. And, or how about one of these places has been taken over by, you know, some terrorist organization. And so they're holding all of this secret technology hostage. And, I guess this is really running with current events. Anyway. So the only guy who guarded and oversaw this place was Blaze Grandstand. So he's got to get back in the game.
Mm-hmm. And only he knows how to get back in.
Only he knows how to get back in. And the problem is that his daughter.
Yeah, I got to work the daughter.
So the daughter took over for him at the agency, worked her way up independently. And now she is also held hostage inside this secret military installation.
Perfect.
And only Blaze Grandstand knows how to get in.
But the thing is, she can't work like for the same organization. She has to work for some separate government or like oversight organization to make sure that they keep up like ethical standards.
This is actually perfect. She's just she's a representative from the district.
Yeah, she's a congresswoman. Right?
She's a congresswoman.
Yeah.
Oh man, Blaze Grandstand. So Blaze is like 60, 65.
Congresswoman Grandstand goes missing.
Well, her last name is like Bettis at this point.
Oh, okay.
Because she married Elaine Bettis's son.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll have
a cameo
appearance.
Cameo options are left open.
Okay, so Blaze Grandstand has to get into the secret military installation, and so he meets his crack team, and Dutch introduces them, and he says, "Hey guys, this is Ranger Blaze Grandstand," and all these guys are wearing Forest Ranger outfits. And one of them walks up, shakes his head, and goes, Forest Ranger? And he goes, Army Ranger.
There you go.
There you go. All right.
we got our tagline.
Now, we need at least three big action sequences. So we need an action sequence 20 minutes in, an action sequence 40 minutes in, an action sequence 65 minutes in that runs to our climax. So this thing writes itself.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, secret military hostage takers have taken over this place. So our first, let's say the secret military installation is middle of the desert, and you can only access it through these firework stands that are out in the middle of the desert.
Mm-hmm.
This allows for explosives, and so it's the breach.
<That's comedy>.
Yeah. So it's the breach. So there's a huge action sequence there. Oh, since it's out in the middle of the desert, there should be like Lake Havasu. Maybe that should be the final scene. Is it Lake Havasu? During spring break. This is perfect.
Okay.
So then our middle sequence will be in the hole in the installation. So that's what it'll be. So second sequence will be down in the installation. They get in there. Blaze gets in there, kills everybody except for the lead villain who gets out in a plane. And the lead villain was Blaze's right hand man at the installation.
Mm.
Right.
No, it's his son-in-law.
Mm.
And at some point, has to run out of ammo and construct some sort of makeshift firearm out of, the fireworks.
Oh. Like, I love it!
Blowing people up with mortars.
I love it. Yeah, I would love it. Okay, so him and Dutch get pinned inside a fireworks stand, and then they both are shooting, click, and then they look at each other. Then their guns are spent, and Dutch looks at Blaze and goes, "Looks like we're out of ammo." And then Blaze goes, "Looks like we got plenty of ammo." Looks around him, grabs a rocket, and then shoo. That's great.
That's kind of a lame line. How about,
yeah,
I always wanted to go out in a blaze of glory.
And he's got to be smoking.
And then he gets a morning glory.
Yeah, I love
lights it up like a grenade.
Yeah, he's got a, he has a cigar this whole time, so he's lighting all this stuff with cigars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is perfect.
Got a light? You know I do.
This is so good.
There's got to be something that goes wrong, though, when you start losing the forest rangers.
Oh, yeah. All the forest rangers die. But Dutch also has to die, right? Dutch dies at the very, right before the final chase.
He dies with a question mark, though.
Yeah, totally. He, Agent Coulson, dies. So, yeah, I mean, Dutch could be a double agent at the end. Or do you want him to be good the whole time?
Either way.
Because really, so our bad guy, let's call him Dick Dixon, because he's a total dick.
It's Dick Bennis.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, that's right, Dick Bennis. Finally gets Blaze down into the military installation, and then he says, "Hey, Dutch, thanks for bringing him to me." And then you realize
exactly
that Dutch is a double agent. And then he ends up killing Dutch because he's like, I don't need your services anymore. Kills Dutch. Jumps in one of the experimental aircraft. It takes out of the installation after there's been a long battle to get down into this place. It's like the raid. Like, it's basically just a multi-tiered battle to get down into the heart of this secret military installation. And all of the Rangers die in very weird and graphic ways as they get down to the bottom. And then...
It should all be forest-related deaths. Like,
yeah.
Forest service-related deaths.
Yeah.
Like, one of them steps in a bear trap.
Right.
They killed him.
Bear trap. Yikes. There's got to be a fire, too, because then somebody could say, sets him on fire, sets him ablaze, and then the bad guy says, only you can prevent forest fires.
Uh-huh.
Right. So then it all gets...
Or he heroically dies putting out the fire and says, only I can put out forest fires.
Yeah, and then boom, and then shot right through the heart.
Oh.
Yeah, he goes, only I can prevent forest fires. Boom, shot through the heart, and then the bad guy goes, only I can prevent forest rangers.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Right. Okay. Yeah, there also needs to be a large Scandinavian or Swiss right-hand man to the bad guy.
Mm-hmm, the Dolph Lundgren type.
Exactly. Maybe Belgian. Okay, so then they get in their experimental aircraft. The bad guy gets in the experimental aircraft, takes off with Blaze's daughter as the co-pilot, and then Blaze has to get in his experimental aircraft, and then there's a large dogfight, Top Gun style.
Oh, my.
Right? Over Lake Havasu during spring break.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and everyone thinks it's like the Canadians' Blue Angels.
Exactly. Oh, no, that's perfect.
Everyone's just cheering it on.
Oh, maybe it's not over, maybe it's over like Las Vegas, and the Blue Angels are scheduled to perform, and then the Blue Angels get in the dogfight. They're like, finally, we get to see some action. We're not just a bunch of monkeys performing for these people.
Or so what happens is it's like cut to the airfield, like where the air show is going to happen, and then over the intercom, it's all calm and there's
right.
like people,
yeah.
geared up to watch. And over
oh,
the intercom,
perfect.
They're like, due to government cutbacks, today's demonstration of aerial acrobatics by the Blue Angels has been canceled. And then the top one like talks. Gets a call and is like, what? And they're heading this way? And they all, and then, like, he gives them all a knowing glance and they run to their cockpits and take off and everyone cheers because they're like, the Blue Angels are doing it anyway. Screw whatever they come next.
And then there's this crazy air show. And that's perfect because after the final scene, after the guy's experimental aircraft fighter gets blown up, then everybody starts cheering because
yeah,
they just think
just
it's
cheering.
Part of the air show.
And the experimental aircraft like had a cache of fireworks in its bomb bay for some reason, so it just goes up with a giant fireworks explosion.
I just love the idea, too, of, like, this whole movie should just be...
just kill this daughter in this scenario.
Well, that's the thing. You got to get her out of the thing. That's the challenge, right?
She parachutes out at some point.
Well, I love the idea of, you know, running out of ammo. So, basically, the plane runs out of ammo, and then he realizes that the only way that he could do anything now is through the ejector seat. So, he ejects out of the plane, like, at just the right angle... To get onto the other plane, and he's holding onto the plane with nothing but a firework in his teeth, and then he's climbing forward with unparalleled strength, and then he gets out, he shoots a firework into the thing, kills the pilot, and then all of a sudden the plane's going down, and he has to jump in and get his daughter out and or ejected, and then they eject out of the plane right before he hits the ground and explodes. Wow. Well, okay, so we've got the plot here. Now all we need is a title, and we need an actor as the lead.
Mm-hmm.
So I love Blaze of Glory, since his name is Blaze Grandstand.
Yeah, Blaze of Glory.
Technically,
definitely.
He goes out in a blaze of glory.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
and
a lot of fireworks.
He should be, like, the town that it opens up on should be, like, Glory, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Glory Hole, Wisconsin. It's like Jackson Hole, but it's Glory Hole.
Blaze of Glory.
Yeah, Blaze of Glory. Yeah. That's perfect. So who is our Blaze of Glory? Because Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger are taken out. We need somebody who's like 65 years old. Like Bruce Willis would be good, but he's kind of a jerk, right?
See, I wanted to say Benjamin Cumberbatch.
So Benjamin Cumberbatch is the perfect... I can't remember his first name is, but Bettis.
Dick.
Yeah, Dick Bettis. He's a perfect Dick Bettis.
Okay.
I want him with an American accent, though. Same menacing low voice, but with an American accent.
Can our hero be Jeff Foxworthy?
I love it.
The role he was born to play.
Blaze of Glory. Yeah, I mean, you know, all he's doing is that baking show on CBS.
Is he?
Yeah, he's hosting a baking show on CBS. He's got nothing going on. I love it. And then Dutch should be played by
the cable guy.
I was thinking Chuck Norris as Dutch.
Chuck Norris. Well, I mean, who could even tell the difference?
Right. Dude, actually, I think that the roles should be reversed. I think Chuck Norris as Blaze and Jeff Foxworthy as Dutch.
Yeah, that's really good.
Right? I'd see that movie, dude. I would see Blaze of Glory. All right. Well, we got another one of the books. So Blaze of Glory. Once again, I did this challenge at the last one. I'm sure somebody's reading or listening to this. So, and I'm sure somebody has written it down. Just go ahead and email that to us, personalrecords@gmail.com. And we'll go ahead and send that out to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
See what we can get. So I love this segment. I want to do this more. Eric pitches a movie.
It's funny.
All right, Jesse, what's your first topic?
Well, I want to talk about beer.
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 So speaking of the government shutdown,
right?
What one of the ramifications that is happening is that there will be no new beer on the shelves from craft brewers while the government shutdown occurs.
Are you serious?
I'm super serious.
Oh, no new beer. So new beers that are already out. Oh, no.
Right.
Oh,
because
no.
Winter
seasonals.
Part of the TTB is shut down, and the TTB is in charge of what's called COLA approvals. Which is certification of label approval, which is basically you submit the label that you want to put on the beer bottle or case. Then you send it to them and they say, yep, stamp, everything's good. Then they send you back a certificate that says you can use that label and then you can sell it under that label. So during the shutdown, no new labels can be approved, which means no new styles can be sold, basically.
But you got to assume that all the winter seasonals have been already approved, right?
Well, what I'm hearing is if you didn't get your COLA approval, like, submitted by mid-August, that it's not going to happen.
Oh, my Lord.
So...
apparently, these said people...
Hopefully, you would have gotten your winter ducks in a row already, but yeah. It could affect spring seasonals, for sure.
Oh, that's fine. Spring's worse seasonal.
It's the worst season.
It is. It's worse. It's worse everything.
We hate spring.
All I'm saying is that these people obviously have no idea what non-essential services means.
Totally. But beyond that, it's not just label approval. TTB is also in charge of permitting tasting rooms and allowing new breweries to, you know.
Be a brewery.
Be a brewery. So if you were, you know, 9/10 of the way of getting your brewery up and running at this point, and there's hundreds of breweries across the nation, in different stages of planning, then right now, basically, you're not going to get your approval to start producing, and you're going to have to continue basically spending rent and other expenses.
That is horrible.
Yeah, it sucks.
I hate this whole thing.
Yeah, the government sounds really mad. No, who else is mad?
Who?
Is Tom McGee, owner of Lagunitas, who tweeted out, expletive. Feds are going to shut down the already incompetent gov while hundreds of small breweries, including us, have labels pending.
Well, this nice. This does come from the brewery that screwed up a seasonal once and made We Suck. This yeah. repackaged Lagunitas. Not saying, I mean, Lagunitas was recently voted best brewery in America, and I love Lagunitas beer. And by the way, you can say expletives on this show.
Yeah, I know. I just, from the article that I had deleted the expletive, so I don't know what he actually said. I'm going to go with boners.
Boners.
And then he continued and said, want to regulate, perform, or get out of the way.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, this whole thing is fucking a joke.
It's a joke. It's crazy. I mean, we try not to get too political, but yeah. I think everyone's equally mad about what's going on.
Well, it's equally mad, and it's like equally like, you know, you as a historian, Jesse, as a scholar of history.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like there's a way to get laws passed in this country, and it's been that way for a long time, and there's a way to figure out whether laws are constitutional or not. It's been there for a long time, and if you want to either enact or repeal a law, you follow those rules. It's basically that.
Yeah.
Anyway, like I said, we don't want to get too political on this show. We are a nerd culture show.
It's hard to take a moral high ground when there was an elected body of Congress that approved
yes.
the bill, and then it was signed into law by a man who was elected by the American people and then upheld in the highest court of the land.
It literally passed through all three branches of government.
And which, then you're still saying no?
And I'm saying it's not, and that's fine. That's fine, too. Like, you can disagree with that law. But if you want to get
it's the same channels to
exactly.
try
if you want to get repealed, there is a definite place to do that. There's a way to do that. There are rules in place to do that. And, you know, if you really hate that law, you can probably wait it out. I would assume that at some point there will be an all Republican you know, Congress and presidency.
Yeah.
Right? And if it's really fucking up the country that much, you'll have the chance then.
Right.
Like, I'm just saying, like, this sets such a dangerous precedent that, like, there's a way that laws are made in this country, and we can't stop just throw all that shit out the window. Just throw 236 years of making laws out the window and just do it whatever the way we fucking want.
I'm just saying, no government, then no taxes. This is literally like what the American Revolution started over. You're going to still charge us taxes, but we right. don't get anything out of it. It's kind of ironic that the Tea Party is kind of, like, forced the same scenario that the original Tea Party was fighting against.
There's just so much shitbaggery that's happening right now.
Yeah, it's total shitbaggery. But
anyway.
Yeah, now they're screwing with beer.
Yeah, and that's when, if you want to get fucking mad, fuck with our beer.
I feel bad for the people who are like just waiting for the TTB approval to start, you know, brewing beer. And it's like, oh, well, now we're going to have to wait and spend thousands of dollars.
Yeah, holding up our operation. Oh,
yeah.
God.
It's also great that the same people who are shutting down the government are doing so on the premise that certain things are bit killers to small business.
Yes.
Like, all right, so now you're killing small businesses.
Shitbaggery, dude.
Performer, get out of the way.
I just love that if we're going to talk about politics on this show, it's going to be about beer politics, guys.
Yeah, this isn't about politics. This is just about beer.
Well, the fact of the matter, I mean, and really, Jesse, I mean, why would you need a regulatory body to figure out whether or not your label is, you know, misleading or catering to children if you're selling a beverage that intoxicates people and is one of the major killers of people in this country?
I have seen the Four Loko cans, and those are not catering to adults. That is a fact.
That's totally true.
It's just so you don't put boobs on it.
Is that it?
I'm pretty sure that's the whole process. They look at the label and like, yeah, no boobs.
No boobs. Oh, man.
But you can still sell beer. Like, you can still sell beer in kegs is the thing. Like, you can still sell draft. So if you're looking for a little variety and you notice that the beer store hasn't really gotten any interesting new bottles, try going to the beer bar and getting it on draft.
Try going to your new tasting room. Oh, shit.
Oh, damn it.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe this will be a huge draft beer revolution.
Oh, I just came up with a great government lockdown beer name.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a Pilsner, and can be named after the congressperson Boner Pills.
Just make sure your label is not explicit. Actually, fuck it. There's nobody checking.
But, yeah, exactly. Boner Pills Lockdown Lager.
Yeah.
Shut down Shandy.
Boner Pills Shutdown Shandy is the greatest name ever. No, it should really be a session ale because you have, you know, sessions of Congress.
Boner Pills Sessions Out.
This is the name for our Imperial Session. This is like the perfect, this is the perfect road for an Imperial Session. It's a 7.5% session ale.
That depends on what your definition of session is.
Right,
James.
It does. You know, we can all have different interpretations of what session means. That's the slogan. Boner Pills Imperial Session Ale. Boner Pills Sessions Out Imperial Session Ale. We can all have different opinions on what session means.
Yeah.
It's a great label.
I think Lagunitas might actually already have one. It's right up there, Allie.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, man. Yeah,
well,
fuck this.
That's what's happening
noise.
In Washington to your beer.
Fuck this noise. Anything else on the beer political front?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, that means it's time for some trivia. So we're going to do some Genius One Trivial Pursuit. I'm going to roll a six-sided die to see which category we do. Oh, it's one, baby. It's geography. Probably my favorite category. All right. Especially when there's a bonus geography tiebreaker. Jesse, this question's for you. Which is the only one of the seven wonders of the ancient world still standing?
That's an easy one.
It is.
The Great Pyramid of Giza.
Yep, I'm going to go with the Grand Canyon. it says here the Grand Canyon fell into the Arizona desert about 68 million years ago.
It collapsed. Yeah. It used to be a great wall.
Actually, the real answer, Great Pyramid of Khufu.
Uh-oh.
All right. I'm going to give
out
it to you.
Out on a technicality.
I'm going to give it to you. All right. This one's for
no,
me.
I don't need it.
You're very confident.
I want to rally.
You sound like a Seahawk.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the capital of South Dakota? This one's for me. All right. So you got Pierre.
Just go through all of them.
And you get, I can't remember if Pierre's in North Dakota or Sioux Falls. I think it's Sioux Falls. I'm going to go Sioux Falls.
I'll just say Bismarck to hedge bets.
Oh, damn it. It's Pierre. Fuck. I had it on my mouth. I had it inside my mouth, and then I just let it go away. Boner Pills, Sessions Out Imperial Pills. Whatever. Is it a Pilsner? Is it a Session L? Is it Imperial? I don't know. Okay. Jesse, this one's for you. What famed strip of land is a 15-minute boat trip across the Venetian Lagoon from Venice?
Famous strip of land?
Yep.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
It, I'll just say the Appian Way.
I'm going to go with that they knew when they created this question in 1981 that there would be a Venetian hotel in Las Vegas, and the famed strip of land is a 50-minute boat ride across the moat of the Venetian to the Las Vegas Strip.
There you go.
It's the Lido.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
It's how you would say leader if you had a speech impediment. The Lido. Okay, finally.
That's some good stuff.
It's really good. This, by the way, this 8.8% pumpkin ale is really good. Okay, and if Jesse, this question is for me. What state can you walk from Nevada across the Hoover Dam? What state can you walk from Nevada across the Hoover Dam? I'm going to say Arizona.
I'll just say Utah.
Arizona, got it. Eric got it.
There you go.
All right, so you got the pyramids. I'm going to give you the pyramids. We'll do a geography tiebreaker. So, Jesse, you get to answer first. What Polynesian people, this is too easy for you, what Polynesian people inhabit New Zealand?
Oh, yeah. Let's do another one.
Okay.
There's not really geographically closest to that one.
That's true. That's true. It's the Maori, though, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That one's not really good either. Okay, what European city is known as the Bride of the Sea?
The Bride of the Sea, a mm-hmm. European city,
mm-hmm.
is the Bride of the Sea. I'm going to say, let's say Venice.
All right, I'm going to go with Copenhagen.
Mm.
You got it, buddy, Venice.
All right.
Way to go. Right on the money.
Just a short 15-minute boat ride away from the Lido.
From Lido, man. Beautiful Lido. Beautiful Lido. Spend 5 days, 7 nights at the Lido Holiday Inn.
5 days, 7 nights.
Yeah. All right. So you won that, but I won the roll-off this week. So actually, mister, I have a topic about a beer. So this is a very interesting article that I read on NPR this week about a single beer fetching $2,000.
Nice.
Have you heard about this beer?
No, I have not.
It's interesting because it's from Portland, Oregon.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah. So there is a beer from... you've had Hair of the Dog beer before, right?
Yeah.
I like Hair of the Dog, especially... what is it called? It's something Claws. Their winter seasonal is really, really good. But it's spelled Claws, C-A-W-S. Anyway, they had a expensive beer, 12 bottles that they had, each priced at $2,000. It sold out in mere hours. This is from draftmag.com. What beer could possibly fetch such a price tag? Hair of the Dogs, a near 30% ABV version of the brewery's Atom, which was created by freezing and concentrating the original beer multiple times. Proceeds from the beer went to Guide Dogs for the Blind, the largest guide dog school in the country. So basically, Hair of the Dog made this beer, and they made this beer back in 1994. So it's a super aged beer, sitting at 30%. And I was hoping you could maybe shed some light on this. They said that they froze it and unfroze it multiple times to increase the alcohol content.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Yeah, well, this is actually an old German system of making beer. Mm-hmm. Like Winterbox are usually done this way. So water has a lower freezing point than alcohol.
Okay.
So if beer freezes and you take out – it won't freeze like completely. So uh-huh. imagine it's like partially frozen.
Okay.
And you take out whatever the frozen matter is, that's all water. But the alcohol has been pushed out of that clump and redispersed within the rest of the beer. So you've basically just distilled it by freezing it.
Okay. And then you just keep doing that over and over and over?
Yeah, so you can do that a number of times and get to a certain ABV that you like.
Interesting. So how do you feel about these beers also that are like 30%? Because they're not really beers at that point. They're basically alcohols, right?
Or liqueurs. Yeah, that's almost like a schnapps or something. But yeah. I've never had one, so I can't really judge.
Because there's the famous Excalibur, which is from Sam Adams Brewery. But this one is from Hair of the Dog. No, I'm probably never going to taste this beer because it is $2,000 a bottle.
Yeah.
But basically, Dave is... So it's called Dave, and it is a version of a barley wine that was brewed in 1994 called Adam. And it's they basically just aged it, and then they froze it a bunch of times, and then aged it, and now it's the most expensive beer in the world.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'm really interested. So you've never tried a beer that was like super high alcohol content, like we're talking like 25% to 30%?
No. No, I think I may have had one that was like upwards of like some Lithuanian beer called Before and After that was like 20%, but it was disgusting.
Oh, yeah. And it had that cool label, but you said it was really gross.
Yeah. It had like one of those pictures where when you flip it upside down, it becomes a different picture. So it was like a gross looking old hag. And then you flipped it upside down, turned into like a nice looking lady.
Right.
Because it's like, yeah, you get so drunk that a girl's hag looks like a nice maiden.
I am Lithuanian.
This is my Lithuanian accent.
Actually, Jesse, that's probably the best accent I've ever heard you do. I don't know what Lithuanian sound like, but that sounded Lithuanian to me.
I can do a good New Zealander. I want some fish and chips. Fush and chips. Have you heard Lord Fush?
I think we literally just got 600 more Australian listeners.
Yeah, I think so.
So they brewed 100 gallons in 1994, and they're basically just letting this stuff out very slowly. But apparently, so the $2,000 mark, this is kind of one of the most expensive beers ever sold. This is like $2,000 for, I think.
Right, but this doesn't count.
Why?
Because it's $2,000, but it's all going to charity.
Well, that's true. But you're still paying $2,000 for it.
Yeah, but the people, they wouldn't be buying it for $2,000 if the money was just going to the brewery.
I don't know. There's a lot of beer nuts out there.
No, they're doing it because it's for charity.
It says there was an hour-long line that was lined up to buy the beer, or a few hours long, lined up to buy the beer the day that it went on sale.
Okay, well, you have two options here.
Okay.
Either you are buying this beer because you want to donate $2,000 to a good cause, or you're willing to spend $2,000 on a single beer and you're an idiot.
Well, actually,
no beer on earth is worth $2,000.
Actually, Jesse, you might be even more of an idiot because apparently now I'm on NPR. There was an NPR article on this today. It says the technique combined with Dave's age and limited quantity of 100 gallons produced back in 1994 has upped the hype around it. Two bottles were sold at auction in 2012 for $4,525, according to Beer Pulse. So yeah. That's not going to any charity. That's just going to a dude.
No, there's no beer is worth that. And if you're the type of person that's going to spend that kind of money to drink a beer, you're only doing it because you want to be like, I had a Dave.
Right.
I'm the guy who drank that beer.
Well, and you could literally drink a bottle over like multiple sittings because it is sitting so high. I can't imagine this has a lot of carbonation in it anymore either.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not going to keep well. It's stupid.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing about this, I mean, the guy sold two bottles for $4,525, which means he made $525 profit. And the only reason why he made $525 profit is because he bought this stuff in Oregon, which has no sales tax.
Oh, right. I thought you meant this was like he had some bottles from like an earlier batch.
No, apparently two bottles sold for four. So two bottles for $525. So he made $525 on that sale.
Yeah, except the auction house takes 10%.
Yikes. So, well, that's only $45. No, that's $450. So he made...
he made like $75.
Yeah, he made like $75.
So,
wow.
Good job.
Great job on that one, buddy. apparently there's some more beers that are expensive. It says beers pushing the $2,000 mark. A beer pushing the $2,000 mark is certainly unusual, but there are other breweries testing the market for extraordinary price beers. Scottish brewery BrewDog's End of History, which had 55% alcohol by volume and was sold in bottles stuffed into the carcasses of taxidermied critters, sold for $765 a bottle. And Nail Brewing in Perth,
that's
Australia.
That's 55% alcohol.
Yeah, that's not beer.
That's 110 proof.
Yeah, that's true. Basically, like Everclear.
Yeah, not whiskey is like 90 proof. Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. And then Nail Brewing in Perth, Australia, made a beer using water from Antarctic icebergs and auctioned it off for $1,850.
Yeah, well, that's silly.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly beer geek beer, right? I mean, you have to be just an uber beer geek with deep pockets. And this
no,
is
this
the beer
is for you. This is beyond geek territory. This is full snob.
Full stop. The question here is, if these are passing off as beers and they're, you know, anywhere from 30 to 55% alcohol, is there a big market? You would be the guy with the ear to the ground on the beer industry here. Is there a big market for like really super high alcohol content beers?
Yeah, called homeless people.
Oh no.
It's like the high gravity stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, which I actually really, I love high gravity. I've never drank it.
Uh-huh.
You know the beer I'm talking about, like the silver cans, right?
With the big I thought that was Steel Reserve.
Well, there's also one called High Gravity.
Okay, I only know Steel Reserve because let's just say I had an encounter with that during my fraternity initiation.
Yeah, you were Edward Steel Reserve hands.
Yeah,
weren't you?
I was. Two tall boys of that.
The thing about High Gravity is it's actually a great beer industry pun.
Why?
Because specific gravity is the way that you measure sugars, which are potential alcohol. So a beer with high gravity will result in more alcohol. But it's just called, like, high gravity, and it's sold to drunks who don't understand the subtle goofery involved in that name.
Your beer snob is coming out a little bit about this. You're such a drunk, you don't even understand the stupid joke that's associated with the title of the beer that you're drinking
for
the high alcohol content.
I'm not a beer snob. I'm a pun snob.
There you go.
It's really horrible beer, I'm sure.
Well, then you're going to...
I mean, beer that's, like, anything above, like, 15% for the most part is, like, Steel Reserve and stuff, just for people to get drunk off.
Yeah, that's true, unless it costs $2,000, and it's for rich people to get drunk off.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so, and speaking of terminal gravity, I'm actually...
You either have to have no home or too many homes.
Oh, no. Wow.
If you have just one home, you don't go either way.
Don't worry about it. Okay, so I'm drinking the Terminal Gravity. Have you heard of the brewery, Terminal Gravity
yeah.
Brewery?
They're out of Oregon?
Enterprise, Oregon. And I'm trying their Weed Whacker right now as my follow-up because this Imperial Pumpkin Ale is, I just finished a 22 of it. And it's, 8.5%? It's a big guy. So I'm following it up with a 4.7% Weed Whacker. And I actually like this Weed Whacker. I like your deal with Session Ales. I'm a big fan of the Session.
4.7 is a nice ABV.
Totally. I decided to go for during the Seahawks game this week. I just got a case of Session. From Full Sail. Because, why
Session's
not?
Like 5.3 or something. Session itself is actually a little bit out of the range of Session Ale.
It is, but it comes in 11-ounce bottles.
Yeah, exactly.
So it makes up for it in volume. Yeah, exactly. The only beer that I got that was so low alcohol that I drank way too many of them and did not get a buzz was Michelob Ultra. Have you ever tried the Michelob Ultra?
I don't know if I've had anything from the Michelob family.
It is so light that literally I would give it to a 4-year-old. Don't quote me on that because I would not give it to a 4-year-old because that's illegal.
Yeah.
But it is really, really light beer. I think I drank 8 of them one night and did not get a semblance of buzz off of any of it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's
Are you sure it's not actually near beer?
No, it's not near beer. It's got alcohol content, but I think it's like 3.8% or something. It's like crazy small.
It is ultra.
Yeah, basically it's just bread water.
Is it top shelf quality, like Bud Light Platinum?
You got it.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves in marketing is specifically top shelf quality beer. Because we all know we put the great beer on the top shelf.
No, you put the great beer in 22s. Really, that's what Budweiser should do, is like make a bunch of like fancy 22 bottles.
They right? have some like 32-ounce bottles.
See, that's my... That's my most hated thing in marketing, is when I buy a beer and then I realize it's made by Budweiser.
Oh, yeah, like Shock Top or Red's Apple Ale or one of those.
Or like Blue Moon is... Blue Moon isn't made by Budweiser, but it's made by one of the big guys.
Coors, I think.
Yeah. It's a bummer, man. All right.
Do you know there's a Red's Apple Ale strawberry flavor?
Yeah, it was actually funny because I was watching TV with Lydia and... There's like a commercial where, you know, the Red's Apple Ale, they like get pummeled with apples, like that's their thing in the commercials. But there's a commercial where like there's these two guys staring at the beer aisle, and then one of the guys goes, "Hey, let's get one of the Red's Apple Ale strawberries." And then like all these apples and strawberries start falling from the ceiling, and then, you know, it happens for like a couple seconds, and then the thing comes up at the end that says Red's Apple Ale strawberry, try it or whatever. And Lydia turns to me and goes, "I thought that was a joke." I thought they were actually going to buy a real beer. And I was like, I love you. You're my wife.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Have you seen the commercial for Heaven Sent Fried Chicken?
No.
I thought that was a joke the first time I saw it. You're going to have to look that up.
All right, I'll YouTube it.
Yeah.
All right, Jesse, what's your second topo?
Okay, so for my second topic, I want to talk about some science.
If today we're able to create a two-headed dog with six legs, is it possible that a similar creature existed thousands of years ago? And I say yes.
Great Scott!
Great Scott.
Great Scott. The guy in that introduction kind of sounds like JR from Philly.
You know, it's like the weird alien guy that always pops up on Reddit. Like the guy with the weird haircut, he's like in a bunch of History Channel shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's him.
Wait, was he being serious?
Yes, he was absolutely serious. That's what makes it so good.
I thought that was from like a cheesy like sci-fi movie.
Well, he's being serious in the way that certain pundits are being serious about this shutdown.
That's,
talking points from weird, nerdy science guys.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, speaking of space...
Uh-huh.
A massive planet, six times the size of Jupiter, has been spotted, identified, and it turns out that it's a planet with no sun.
That's no planet.
Well, that's a good point. It could be a Death Star.
Star Wars.
I didn't even think about that. But so they've found planets floating around with no suns before, but they never know if they were actual, like, true planets.
Right.
Or if that they were collapsed brown dwarfs.
So they're just, like,
stasis.
Gross stars.
Yeah, they didn't quite make it.
Mulling
just turned
around
into, like, giant gas plants. But they found out that this one was, in fact, not a brown dwarf.
Mm.
Because it's redder than the reddest known brown dwarf.
Okay.
And I guess it's so red that it can't be a brown dwarf.
All I'm saying is like Lord of the Rings or D&D things going on right now.
Therefore, it is a wandering planet with no sun.
I just imagine like a fight between two D&D factions, and one of them is capitalist and one of them is communist, and one of them, and the capitalist represented by, instead of by red, white, and blue, by brown. And then the other one is the red.
The red dwarves?
Yeah, the red dwarves and the brown dwarves.
Well, brown dwarves are actually red, apparently.
What?
But this planet is redder than the reddest brown dwarf.
Okay.
Therefore, it's not a brown dwarf,
mm-hmm.
but a planet that's just wandering around space all by its lonesome.
It's definitely a Death Star.
It's probably a Death Star.
Yeah.
So,
it's apparently, literally a star, right? Or I guess it's not a star. Anyway.
No, it's a planet.
Carry on. Carry on.
Pay attention.
Sorry.
You're too drunk.
Yep.
I've been drinking your steel reserves.
The pumpkin has me in his kingdom.
Yeah. So I guess some astronomers insist that the definition of a planet should only apply to objects that form around stars.
All right, I am so fucking over scientists trying to figure out what a planet is. After the whole Pluto fiasco, Like, there was a guy named Galileo. He figured out what planets were, and he didn't even have a Hubble. So why don't you just deal with that shit and just straight up Galileo this stuff?
There was also a guy named Hubble.
There was a guy named Hubble.
And he didn't have a Hubble.
And Hubble wasn't moving for Pluto to not be a planet.
Yeah, because right? Pluto wasn't discovered until the 50s.
So if this thing isn't a planet, what are they calling it?
Well, they prefer to call the class of objects that this one, PSOJ318.5-22, is.
Oh, wait, this is 5-22?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, 5-22.
The very same.
Yeah.
They prefer to define them as planetary mass. Planetary mass, that's planetary dash mass.
Okay. So it's one word.
Planetary mass objects, or planimos for short.
Okay, that's actually way cooler than planet.
It's like you're into it?
Yeah, I like planimo.
So this is a planimo.
I think we just found the name for our villain for our action movie.
Ooh.
Planimo Bettis. Planimo Bettis. Planimo. I should have known.
So what do you think life could be like if there was like a civilization on a planimo?
Oh, gee. So
there's no light, so it'd all be like a bunch of naked mole rat peoples.
Yeah, but you do realize this is all... I mean, this is just your starship Earth theory, right? That
yeah,
Aaron
basically.
Brought up like 25 times. That Aaron can't shut up about.
What if we are the generation ship?
Oh, no.
What if, Eric, what if we are the planimo?
We are the planimo, dude.
Never forget the planimo. Remember the planimo.
Remember the... Okay. Yeah, I mean, you would think that it would all be subterranean life, right?
Yeah, right, because there's no heat.
Right, I mean, basically, the whole exterior is just your you know, shield to the elements of space. And then internally, you would be living off of the gases and heat produced by your core.
Right. Yeah, it's like Hollow Earth theory, but for real.
For reals, dude.
There could be a real Hollow Earth planet, floating yeah. around.
Well, I mean,
the whole underground society,
and not necessarily even a Hollow Earth. I mean, you could still live like in the crust, but you would be near the bottom of the crust, near the magma.
See, so. I like a Hollow planet for this scenario.
Okay, fine.
Where it's like a Kinder Surprise, and once you get inside, there's a whole civilization.
And it's also illegal in the United States.
Yeah. Yeah, just like my new beer, Planimo, which doesn't have cola approval yet. Planimo so, Pale Ale. Remember the Planimo.
So many great beer names coming out of this government shutdown. Dude, Hollow Earth Theory also is bonkers.
it's the most bonkers thing that's ever existed.
Yeah, like, honestly, okay, I'm going to list things that are less bonkers than Hollow Earth Theory. UFOs, less bonkers. Yeah. Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
House Republicans. Like, it's
JFK, the Magic Bullet Theory.
Magic Bullet Theory. Actually, Magic Bullet Theory is very plausible, sir.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Like, Hollow Earth Theory is the most bonkers of all theories.
Yeah. The Skeptoid episode on it is pretty good.
Is that a podcast?
Yeah. It's like a 7-minute podcast or something that just quickly debunks like some sort of pseudoscience.
Well, it's just like, first of all, there's a huge industry around mining. And also oil production.
We have never drilled into the earth,
Eric.
We've
never done it.
Not one.
Never fracked a thing.
Plus, I saw that movie that came out at the same time as Armageddon.
You know, this could be a whole, creationist plot. That there's a Hollow Earth filled with dinosaurs.
That's where the fossils come from.
That was created by the devil. And then and then the dinosaurs rise to the surface. And therefore, fossils.
Yeah, it's like when we die, we get buried. Well, mm-hmm. The dinosaur land on the inside of the earth. They bury their people, too. And then we dig them up as fossils.
Exactly. And they're also made out of a different kind of carbon that has a different half-life than we're used to. And that therefore, carbon dating is totally out of the picture.
Yeah. Well, I don't really like any kind of dating before marriage. So
I think that that's probably a great way to abstain from sex for your entire life if you don't believe in dating before marriage.
Yeah, to just jump right into it.
Just go for it, man.
I do like in this hollow dinosaur hollow earth theory that there could be like a whole museum of human skeletons. Like,
yeah, exactly.
On display.
Look at these prehistoric skeletons.
And a bunch of, like, velociraptors, you know, go to the right. Museum.
They're going to the museum. They're just looking at these crazy animals.
Yeah.
Look at these tiny animals.
these tiny monkey things.
We've never found an animal that was larger than a baby stegosaurus.
They're pretty up to our speed, but in right. Eric's world, they're still in the 50s. Like,
well, it's very
granted, that's pretty close on the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, it's very hard to technologically advance when you don't have opposable thumbs.
That's true, but they have velociraptor claws, so yeah, that's pretty good too.
That is really good.
They have a claw-based system of tools.
I really think that I would turn in my thumbs for velociraptor claws any day. Any day.
Would destroy so many Xbox controllers.
Dude, but have you had any wear on your Xbox controller?
Mine has actually been like a stoic beast.
Okay, because I don't know if it's the way that I use it, but like my left trigger is literally dug all the way through to the plastic. Dug
I've
through.
I've played Halo with you, Eric, and I'm surprised that you even use your left trigger.
Well, you know, sports games.
Okay. Yeah. Throwing interceptions.
Yeah. I use the trigger to throw, and it just screws me up. did I say trigger? I meant thumbstick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So my thumbstick, literally, my thumbnail has cut a hole all the way through the rubber to the plastic of the thumbstick. I'm wondering if this is a problem for anybody else.
Because
I think when I'm using the thumbstick, I don't use the pad of my thumb. I dig into it with my thumbnail, and then I pull on it. Maybe that's why I'm so bad at games.
You are using a velociraptor's thumb.
This is all I want in life is a velociraptor thumb. Okay? This is all I want. Oh, man. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
Planimos.
Planimos.
With hollow cores filled with dinosaurs.
Okay. Anything else on this Planimo, dude?
No, I think we should wrap it up.
It's not coming to Earth or anything?
It's coming to a theater near you.
Great.
Sandra Bullock starring.
Yeah.
I want to watch Gravity. I'm going to try and watch this weekend.
Oh, good job. I'm going to watch it this weekend, too. I have a movie date set with my wife.
Cool. So, I realized something, because I'm planning on watching this. I really want to watch it in theaters.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like a type of movie that's good for theater watching.
Yep.
If I do, it'll be three movies in a row that... The three movies that I've seen in theaters in a row, all in 3D, will be Gravity, Star Trek, and that Aliens prequel.
Yeah, Prometheus.
Prometheus. Like, all 3D yeah. space movies.
Well, I mean, 3D is basically made for space. If you're looking at 3D movies that have come out...
That's true.
Yeah, 3D movies that have come out that haven't been in space. Like, I mean, the biggest 3D movie ever, right, is Avatar, space
right.
movie.
Yeah, that's true. It's like the space...
Yeah. Space like, stuff. Avengers came out in 3D. Nobody was like, hey, you got to check out the 3D in this thing. Right?
Yeah, I actually saw that in 3D, and it was barf.
It was barf. It was barf town. All of the Transformers movies that came out in 3D, like... Dude, it's all about space or bust. If you're going to pay money for 3D, it's space or bust.
So, we're assuming that the next Star Wars movie will be in 3D, right?
Absolutely, it will.
Hmm. I hope that's good, man.
I think... Dude, honestly... Like I've said this before, they can't screw it up more than they already have. And not to mention, J.J. Yeah. Abrams has knocked it out of the park with every movie that he's made. Mission Impossible 3 was really good. Super 8 was really good. And then the two Star Trek movies were really good. So
how many Planimos are going to be in?
Oh, dude, Planimo needs to be a part of Star... That's the perfect plot for Star Trek 3, honestly. Because at the end of Star Trek 2, then they go out on their Star Trek mission where they're exploring new worlds and, mm-hmm. you know... on an exploratory mission for 5 or 6 years or whatever. Like, they need to encounter a Planimo.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Planimo. That should be the name. Star Trek 3, Remember the Planet Mine.
Well, geez, we're just banging at the Hollywood blockbusters. Yeah.
By the way, guys, we have a phone number, Hollywood, 360-362-0024. Leave a voicemail for our agents.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of voicemail, speaking
also, if you could recommend some agents.
Speaking of voicemail, speaking of agents, we do have the Facebook roundup coming up very, very shortly. But before we do that, we got to talk about BaldMove.com, guys. BaldMove.com, Breaking Bad may be over. You may be crying. You may be sad. I'm watching through Breaking Bad on Netflix right now, so I'm trying to avoid all spoilers for all time. But Breaking Bad may be over, but there is a Breaking Bad recap episode of the Breaking Good podcast featuring Jim and Aaron. You got to check that out. It is the way to tie a little bow on your sad, 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 sad state because Breaking Bad is done. But also Walking Dead is coming. And that means that there's a Walking Dead preview cast for the Watching Dead podcast featuring Jim and Aaron. That's there. There's also a Kickstarter that's still live. There's about 10 days left. So check that out. The Watching Dead Kickstarter. Help support BaldMove.com podcasts. And so you can do that there. Also, you got the Because Show, which is on BaldMove.com. You got Up Yours Downstairs, which is on BaldMove.com. You got Get Off My Running Back, the new football podcast, which is on BaldMove.com. There's so much stuff on BaldMove.com. We're on BaldMove.com. BaldMove.com, guys. Just BaldMove.com, your BaldMove.com, and BaldMove.com it. BaldMove.com it.
BaldMove.com it.
Do it.
The new intergalactic web domain.
Do it. Do it, do it, do it. All right, let's do our Facebook roundup here. So each week we post a thread on Facebook. We say on the Personal Arguments Facebook page, we say, hey, we're casting. Give us some topics to talk about. And we touch on them. We've already talked about a couple of these on the show, but we'll just run through them real quick. Michael Merriman says, thoughts on this year's crop of television shows, favorites, bombs. I think, you know, the new stuff coming out, I haven't really been watching any of it except for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you know what my thoughts are on that. I guess we're just behind the times, dude.
I'm definitely behind the times. I don't watch anything on TV but football.
We're in our late 20s. Yeah, the football season is good this year, though.
It is a good football season.
You know, there's some great newcomers.
There's some real turnover in the league. The Giants, the Steelers, like some of these old faithful teams.
Old stalwarts.
Slumping.
Two teams that have won two Super Bowls in the last 10 years are now collectively 0-8.
That's nuts.
Or are they 0-8 or are they 0-10? Oh, they're 0-9 because the Steelers were off last week. So yeah, two teams that have won the Super Bowl in the last, won two Super Bowls in the last decade are now 0-9. That's some big turnover.
So that's our thoughts on this year's crop of television shows.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw this thread today that was like, great things about being in your late 20s. I feel like one of the things that they missed was that you now never watch live TV. Live TV is for live TV people.
Yeah.
Except unless it's sports. Parasante, we're not hating you. We're not hating on you, by the way, Michael. And I know you have a Seahawks insignia.
Yeah, we can't hate on him with the Hawk there.
We can't. And also, I wish I had time. I wish I had time and space, but I got a podcast like 17 podcasts a week, and I got to work. And I told you I'm already in a funk. I'm getting funky. Jesse's funky. We're all funky.
I'm not funky.
You're the funk master.
Yeah, I'm the master of funk, but in a good way.
Okay. Parrish, our good buddy Parrish from the hipster stronghold of Brooklyn says, opinion on the upcoming film Zero Charisma. Jesse, have you seen the trailer for this film?
You know, I haven't.
Dude, you got to get the trailer for this. This is a movie that I'm very excited about because it's all about Dungeons and Dragons. And not about Dungeons and Dragons in like a sense of like we're going to recreate a bunch of things like a bunch of you know, reenactments or LARPing. It's like actually being a dungeon master, and it's the star is this very unattractive dude, and it's like his problems as a dungeon master in real life, and it's a comedy, and I
very
cannot wait for this
interesting.
Movie. Yeah.
My opinion is I need to check this out.
Yes, and it's called Zero Charisma, which is awesome because it's a joke that only people who play Dungeons & Dragons will get.
I'm just saying, if you have zero charisma, that's very dangerous because if you take any further charisma damage, it transfers onto constitution, and once your constitution goes to zero, you're dead.
Oh, Jesse, you won't like this movie at all. No, but Zero Constitution, honestly, check this out. I'm excited for this film. Up next, we got Justin. Justin says, first of all, thanks for the podcast recommendations. This is for our buddy who went on the ferry ride to Alaska. He says, I really enjoyed the Rachel Ray podcast. I cannot recommend Rachel Ray podcast enough. If you want quick and easy dinner tips, things you can prepare in less than 20 minutes, Rachel Ray is your place.
Yeah, I still need to listen to this. I think I'd really enjoy it. I really want to start cooking better.
Why not?
I want to get my cook on. I got a turkey coming up this Thanksgiving. And let me tell you, Eric, my turkey last year, not that good.
Don't deep fry it, dude.
No, I'm not deep frying it.
You've already had a tree fall in your house. You don't need a turkey fry disaster.
That's true. I don't need any more deep woods blunders.
Deepwood Blunders, the new survival show starring Jesse Wilson.
One young dad from the suburbs goes and lives in the deep woods of the Olympic Peninsula.
I love it.
Things along the way.
He says, anyway, Justin says, so on the ferry ride back from Alaska, I actually found someone playing by themselves with Magic cards and offered to play with her. I ended up only winning one of the six games. Honestly, I think she let me win that one game. I've got to say, all this time I was hating on Magic, but then I finally played it. And honestly, it's fun. It's a very fun game. I mean, Magic the Gathering and Dungeons & Dragons are two games that have a ton of stigma attached to them, but you only have to play them once to realize how fun they are.
Eric, I have been itching so hard to play some Magic cards that I've just, while I've been marathoning Frasier, I've just been like shuffling my deck up and like drawing the top seven cards to see if I need to adjust my deck at all, to see if I'm getting mana screwed or anything. Ugh. Good times.
Well, and on the curtails of that, Jesse, I have now finished 150 unique cards in my board game that I am designing.
Oh, cool.
Which means it is very close to getting ready to play test. And there are
you're so busy.
There are some CCG elements that are attached to that game. Mm. But
happens if you introduce me to the game and I just totally kick your ass at it? Are you going to get mad?
Absolutely not. It's playtest, bro. I'll figure out a way to beat you.
decide it.
He says, Justin says, anyways, long story short, I enjoyed playing Magic. I was wondering if the Xbox Magic games are any good. Also, any tips for beginners as far as collecting, building decks, and playing goes? Two things here. First of all, the Xbox Magic games are really good. If you are a beginning player,
they're totally worth it.
Download it. It is worth the money. You will play the hell of it, and it will also teach you how to play Magic.
It clarifies a lot of stuff.
It does, and you can't do anything wrong. You can't break the rules.
Yeah, you can't break the rules.
Right? So you'll figure out what the rules are through that. And then second of all, if you're a beginner, find a local group and start participating in drafts.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I mean, we've been over this before, but I love drafting just because everyone walks into there on an even playing field.
Exactly.
And then it's up to you to build a good deck and stuff. And the first few times you do it, the decks you build aren't going to be as good as the other people's decks because you're not going to know how to, you know, sniff out the great cards. But you'll get a great foundation of understanding, and you'll get some decks. Like, the deck that you walk out of there with is worth the price of admission.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the thing. That's a great thing about Magic, too, is that if you buy a booster pack for $350 or whatever it is, the cards in there are usually worth $350 if you add them all together.
Like, sure, if you plan on selling them.
Right, but I'm just saying you always get your money's worth out of it. And well, also,
what's great with doing a booster draft is you leave with a deck that you can play with.
And you should keep those around because they're really fun for casual play. And then also you spent $12 and you usually spend about 3 to 4 hours. Like, how much do you spend on a movie? Like, it's worth the money. And then and then you should find some groups. And if you need some help figuring out what's going on with the latest set and how you can help things that can help you in your draft, check out the Limited Resources podcast. They are really good at breaking down each set and telling you which cards are the best in each set. So I hope that's enough information on Magic. Up next, we got Aaron Kirchhoff. Who's this guy?
I don't know. Sounds like a real Kirchhoff to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Anyway, he says Silk Road. And actually, Aaron's in luck because Aaron Hubbard is going to be on next week's show, and he's going to break down Silk Road for us.
Oh, on this show?
On this show.
Oh,
he's already
cool.
committed to it. So he's going to come, and he's got all the info on the whole Silk Road debacle. So,
yeah, I'm really interested in this.
I
honestly
am too.
Like, when I got off work, I was like, I'm going to read up on it and have a lot to say about it. And then I was like, I need to lie down.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to my world. Leland Darby says, CBS News says government shutdown now includes agency that approves breweries and label bottles. Looks like we covered that topic. But yeah, if you're going to get us mad about something, just affect our beer. I guess that's the moral of that story. Ryan M. Kleska says Seahawks and Colts bet. So we did lose the bet. We had a bet with Aaron.
That made this week's loss even stink so much more.
It did. And right after the loss, I was like, I'm not going to fucking do that. And I was like, I'll do it. So we
I'll definitely do it.
We got to figure out how to do it. I was just very bitter about the loss, but then whatever.
You're bitter
so
about everything.
If the Seahawks had won, thanks. If the Seahawks had won, Aaron was going to get a fish, put a tiny Seahawks jersey on it, and have somebody throw it at him until he caught it and
should
put it on video.
Take one.
Yeah, really. I mean, the fish aren't that hard to catch. And then, but since we lost, that means we have to create a cornhole game, which is that beanbag throwing into a hole game, and then put our face on it and then throw the beanbag at it until we get it in the hole.
Let's talk about this. Do you want to make it or do you want me to make it?
I don't know. Who's ever got the most cardboard laying around?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I got a ample supply of pallets. I could.
Oh wow!
Make a real heavy duty.
Jeez.
Deal.
That's hardcore. Yeah, why not? If you're up for it, let's do it. And we'll film that sometime during the season and put it up on baldu.com. James Patterson says Nobel Prize talk, Higgs boast talk. Also, add 6 drinks every time Eric mentions that he hates the Steelers on the Get Off My Running Back podcast, one for each Super Bowl win. And to that, James, I would say you should probably drink 5 times for every legitimate Super Bowl win by the Steelers.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Snap attack.
It's 2006.
Break out the Snapples, guys.
Break them out. By the way, Higgs Boson, we're very excited, of course, for the Nobel Prize going to the Higgs Boson bros. I call them the Higgs Brosons. Naomi says, have you guys tried the Take the Black Stout yet? I got to try that. And he says, and this, I just saw This Is the End, and apparently there was a shout out to your favorite brewery in there.
Interesting.
I think I didn't notice that. I think they were drinking beer from Deschutes, but I'm not sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then Sam Golmohammadi from England says, hey guys, just wondering if you, what you think of this Kickstarter, the Notice Feature card game. So check that out on Kickstarter, the Novus Feature card game. I will check that out, Sam, and I'll let you know what I think about it. And then finally, Sean Keefe says, do you guys like, or have you tried kombucha, Jesse, kombucha experience?
Yeah, I've had it a couple times. I really like it.
I like
tart.
It. Yeah, I like it too.
It's tart. It's yummy. It's good for you, apparently.
It's very vinegary. And the times that I've had it is when I feel bad or when I feel sick. Not bad. Like, I feel sick. Like, a hangover is a great time to drink kombucha. And for me, I got to chug it because it does taste like straight-up carbonated vinegar. But this is my experience with kombucha. I chug it. So I drink the whole thing in probably less than 2 minutes. And then I get really tired for like 20 minutes, and then I feel excellent. That's my kombucha experience.
Interesting.
Oh man, Jesse, that's a cast, man. Let's do some recommendations. What do you say?
Yeah, let's cast off.
What's your first reco?
Oh, I just gotta say it again, guys. You got Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
You got to just start marathoning Frasier. It starts getting really good around, like, season 6.
You hear the blues calling.
I constantly do. I watched, like, 4 episodes of this a night.
Well, that's what we're doing with Breaking Bad, but I think you're probably getting a better TV show.
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe the best thing that's ever graced the airwaves.
Dude, your whole family should definitely be Frasier for Halloween. Like, I feel like you should be Martin. I think
I'm Niles.
Are you Niles? I was thinking you were Niles. But then who's Frasier? Oh,
Russell Neish.
Russell Neish is definitely Frasier.
Yeah. Yeah. Tasha would be
Daphne.
Daph? Or Roz? Jeez.
No, Daphne, because you're Niles.
Yeah, that's true. There you go.
You could get more information like this on our Frasier cast, Hear Those Blues Call-In, where we recap every episode of Frasier.
The blues are casted.
My advice this week is coming straight from the Get Off My Running Back podcast. If you're in a fantasy league, you got to pick up Alshon Jeffrey. You got to pick up Garrett Graham because you know I can't remember his name right now, but the tight end for the Texans is down. So you got to pick up Garrett Graham. He's a huge pickup. And then if Justin Blackmon is available, you got to get him. So that's my fantasy advice for this week.
There you go.
Do it.
I know that I need to drop the Houston defense.
Yeah, that's an awful idea.
Man, I got destroyed last week.
Demaryius Stormborn does not necessarily always help you, sir.
Well, it was fine until Tony Romo racked up 54.
Well, there you go.
I was winning with a 95% projection to win.
I loved it because I was, yeah, that's kind of crazy. I was going up against Levi and I destroyed him. And we had that side wager where the loser would give the winner his quarterback. and so Levi lost, therefore he was obligated to give me his quarterback. However, I rejected his quarterback because I didn't want him. He had Michael Vick.
Yeah, there you go.
Which, who you originally had. So good trade on you, sir.
Yeah, I knew that I wanted to get rid of him pretty early.
Yeah, good call. What's your Seco Reco?
Mine's actually a requesto. If any of the listeners have experience writing a business plan, let me know.
Alrighty. And then my Seco Reco this week, it's going to be a new album. It's a musical album. It comes out from a guy who I went to school with. I was college roommates with. I was in a band with him for 6 months. And it's the fourth studio album from his band, Dance Gavin Dance, here from Sacramento, California. And if you get a chance, give it a listen and give it a buy on iTunes because he's my good buddy and he is awesome and his band is great. So do it. Dance Gavin Dance.
Wham.
Whammo, kablammo, that is a show. Listener, thank you so much for listening this week. And until next week, remember that wherever you go,
whatever you do,
please stay arrogant.
Fish and chips are no fish and chips.
Thank you.